Well, I sure ask for your prayers. Need the Lord to help us tonight. I'm thankful that the Lord paid such a great price that we can sing that song. That we can do more than just sing the words, but the testimony of my heart can be its well with my soul. Regardless of what the enemy is trying to do in my life, regardless of what he's put in my pathway, that I, because of the price that he's paid, I can sing. My soul can sing. It's well with my soul. I hope that's every one of our testimony. The place that we're in, I hope we're on the mountaintop spiritually. I hope you have the victory tonight. Jesus Christ has come that we might have the victory. He hasn't come that we have to live a subpar life. That we have to live a life that's up and down. A life that's not stable. A life that's wishy-washy, if you will. He's come and paid a price to do more than that for us. That we might have life. That we might have victory. That we might be able to be successful. I don't believe He's put requirements upon us of salvation without the grace and the power and the ability to be able to live it. To be able to fulfill His desire and His purpose for every one of us. I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Isaiah. I feel like the message of the Lord is impressed on me to share with you tonight is what I'd consider a simple gospel message. Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. This being prophecy of Jesus Christ, whenever he would come, the one in whom God spoke from above and said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased. This is the one that I've sent, the Redeemer, the Savior of the world." At a time when this world so desperately needed it, whenever we were without a Savior and without hope, whenever we, as the story or the testimony was shared, were as the birds in the cage. Whenever I had no way of escape, I had no hope within myself, I didn't know a way out, He came to bring hope. That is the gospel. That is the message of the gospel. It is a message of hope. It is a message regardless of the station of life that we're in, regardless of where we find ourselves, regardless of whether maybe the enemy has taken advantage of us in our lives. You know, He's still come to give hope. He still wants to give hope to every one of us. The scripture says here, and this is quoted also, I believe, in the book of Matthew, speaking of fulfillment of that prophecy in Jesus Christ. Whenever He came and He looked on all those that were in need and that were in trouble, whose lives were in trouble, it said that He was moved with compassion upon them. And He healed them of all their diseases. A bruised reed shall He not break. I am so thankful that God is not a God of one chance. I wonder if I were to ask for a show of hands. If the Lord gave us one opportunity, this is it. This is your one chance, and if you ever mess this up, there's no hope for you. I wonder how many of us would still be here. If you ever find yourself in a place that I failed, Lord, I failed of your grace. Lord, I've failed you. I've disappointed you. I haven't lived to the expectation that I even had of myself. If all hope was cut off, you know, that's not the gospel message that I read. It is, regardless of where we find ourselves, there is hope. Regardless of the place that I'm in, if I'm bruised, by the process of life, I find myself damaged and bruised, there's hope. There's hope for healing. You know, we spoke of Samson this morning. That story didn't end the way I believe the Lord designed for Samson's life. I don't believe the Lord designed for Samson to fail. Don't believe that He intended for him to go and give himself over and be taken captive. But you know, I'm also thankful whenever Samson made those decisions, the Lord still came back and visited Samson. He still came back although he was taken captive. His eyes were put out. Things weren't the same as they used to be. But yet he remembered in that time. He remembered whenever the Lord used to come upon him and he called out unto his God. At that time when he was standing there and they were looking on him and mocking and laughing, he said, God, have mercy on me this once. And the Lord came back and he visited him. And he put his spirit upon him again. And the scripture says he was able to kill more in his death than he was in his life. This is the God that we have before us. The God that offers hope unto us. Although I may find myself in a place that I realize I shouldn't have done it. Oh, I've messed my life up. I shouldn't have gone there. Maybe I found myself in a snare. If I turn to him, if I claim his mercy and his love and his favor, it says that a bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax will he not quench. Like for us to consider, especially the image of the smoking flax. That means a wick of a lamp that's smoldering. The image is that of a lamp or a candle that's burning, and it's what you see right before the light goes out. Right before the fire quits burning. Whenever you see it start to flicker. Whenever you see the light starts dimming down. The heat isn't what it used to be. But there's still a little bit of a flicker there. Whenever there's still a little bit of a flame. And there's a little bit of smoke coming up from it. It's just about to go out. The Lord wants to revive that. He said that I'm not a God that's going to... I see that and I go and I quench it. And I won't give it another chance. You know, we burn wood a lot for heat at home. And I can build up a roaring fire. And by the time I get up the next morning, at best, it's just maybe a few little coals under the ashes. But I can take and poke in it and I can stir it up and stir it around and take my bellows and begin to blow on it. Put a little bit of paper on it. You know, if I work with it for a little bit. If I'll be patient and work with it for a little while, you'll see that light begin to pick up again. You'll see it begin to flame up a little bit. And then you keep at it, and in a little while, you'll see a flame burst forth. You know, that's what the Lord wants in our lives. If I'm in a place that I'm discouraged, if I'm in a place that maybe the enemy has me held under, maybe I'm oppressed somewhere, maybe I've made mistakes, maybe I've made blunders, the Lord wants to work with us. I'm reminded of the parable in the 13th chapter of Luke. Husbandman that had a vineyard. And he came by and he looked on the tree that wasn't bearing fruit. And he said, cut it down. Master of the vineyard said, cut it down. The husbandman said, just give me a little more time. Give me a few more years. Let me work with it. Let me dig about it. Let me dung it. Let me do everything that I can. My desire is, I want to see it bear forth fruit. I'm not interested in trying to cut it down. You know, the scripture says we're not to sin. There's no place in the scripture that excuses a life of sin. But it also says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. You know, hope isn't lost at that point. But if I find myself in that place, I can come to one that will plead my cause. I can come to one that will plead on my behalf. Father, give me a little more time. Lord, let me work with them a little while longer. I know they're not bearing fruit in their lives. Lord, I know the flame, but I still see a desire. Lord, I still see a little bit of a desire, and let me blow on it. Let me dig about it. Let me stir it up and see if I can get a flame there again. I want to ask you tonight, how's your flame? How's the lamp of your life? Scripture says in the book of Proverbs, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Our spirit, we are to be the candle of the Lord. How's the flame of your candle? Is it burning brightly? Is the flame evident? Is the warmth there that others can be able to feel? Or am I in the place that is starting to flicker? It's starting to smolder. Maybe there's just a little bit of just a spark there. You know, the Lord can take a spark and make out of a spark a raging fire. And that is the Lord's desire if we find ourselves in that place. I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus 24. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually. Without the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation shall Aaron order it, from the evening unto the morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually. That was a charge that was given unto the Levites. The Levites were those that were the priests. They tended to the things of the temple. It was a type of those of us today, of the household of God that are kings and priests. We have something that we've been given the responsibility to tend to. And it is the candle of the Lord. It is the light of the Lord that we're to tend to by day and by night. He said it'll be a statute to you through all generations. Make sure you tend to it. Your responsibility and your charge. Keep the oil in it. Keep it burning. Don't let it go out. No matter by day, by night, if nobody's in the tabernacle, no matter what the situation is, you keep it burning before the Lord. You know, that's our charge and our responsibility as well. Tend to the lamp. Tend to the flame of our lives, the flame of our love unto the Lord. It is our responsibility to tend unto that and to keep it burning. That wasn't a lamp that they could just light and walk away. But it was something that required daily tending. Something that required day by day by day. You tend to it. You trim the lamp. You refill it with oil. Make sure it doesn't run out. That is the responsibility to keep the lamp burning. I'd like to look at the book of Song of Solomon. The 8th chapter. Thinking of that flame. Song of Solomon 8 and 6. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death, jealousy as cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are the coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would be utterly contemned. The flame of love has a most vehement flame, a most vehement heat to it. It's something the Lord wants the flame of our lives. He wants there to be more than just a little flicker. He wants there, yes, there's a time. I'm so thankful there's a time that He'll work with us and He'll blow on it and He'll care for us and tend it. But the desire and His purpose is to cause it to bring forth, to cause it to be a vehement flame in our lives. You know what that flame is? That flame is a flame that others will feel on Wednesday night, prayer meeting night. It's a flame that on the job I'm not going to be able to hide. Isn't that the responsibility of a light? You consider what Jesus said. You are the light of the world. You're to be a candle that's set up on a candlestick to be put on display before the world. Not to see the candlestick, but for it to bring forth light unto the world. How is our flame? Or I might ask, how is our love to the Lord? Does it have that same vehement ardor to it? Does it have that same heat that it one time had? I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 2 and 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. There's something about that scripture that moves me, that gives me a little bit of insight into the heart of God. Talking unto a people that had so often turned away from Him. They made starts. They would make a profession. We want to serve God and God alone. And they'd start out on that, and then sooner or later something would come along and would distract them, and their love and their hearts would go after something else. And the Lord would come along again and work with them. Sometimes it was through hardship, but in His mercy, the Lord would talk to them again. Over and over and over, the Lord working with them and dealing with them. And He's saying here, you go and talk unto my people. I remember you. I remember whenever you stood before me. I remember whenever you had a strong purpose and desire. I remember the zeal of your heart. I remember what you said to me. The love of thine espousals. The kind of love that you had, the first love that you had for me. He's saying it in past tense. I remember that. Something's happened. That love isn't there anymore. That same love that you used to have for me. Oh, it's not there anymore, and I long for it, is what I hear God saying here. I long to have that relationship with you again. I long to be able to have a close walk with you. For you to have that love for me that you one time had. But it's so easy for that to begin to grow cold. Many people make a start. Many people light the flame, but don't tend to it. And before long, it begins to flicker. Before long, it begins to dim down, and it begins to go out. Thinking of, along the same lines as what God is speaking here, of marriage. Think of what you see so often in divorce courts today. Filled with people that at one time loved each other. At one time had a love for one another. But yet it's something just like the lamp. You don't start it and just walk away. It requires attending unto. Requires a daily tending unto it and caring for it. But yet over the course of time, regardless of the good intentions, regardless of the vows, Brother Philip said something about our covenant. You know, a covenant is a two-way agreement. It's an agreement between two people. Whenever we got married, we said vows unto one another. That I give myself unto you, choosing you above all others. I choose you alone, in sickness or in health, for richer or for poor, for better, for worse. Whatever comes, I choose you. You know, we've made a covenant unto the Lord whenever we get saved. Lord, I give myself unto you. I choose you above all else in the world. How is our love? How is that covenant tonight between us and the Lord? Oh, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, I remember. I remember the times when your love was strong, but something's happened and it's begun to smolder. You know the only thing to me more beautiful than a newlywed couple and the love they have for one another? It's someone, a couple that's been married 60 years, that are still in love. That are still holding hands walking down the sidewalk. Remember reading a story of a couple in Iowa. Been married for 72 years. And they were in a car wreck and taken to the hospital and they died. They scooted their beds together. They realized that we can't separate these two. And put their beds together and they held hands. And they died together 72 years later. It said that the man went first and they were still picking up a heartbeat in the monitor. And they said, what is that? They looked at it closer and they realized that it was the heartbeat of the wife that was still transferring through the husband. You know, there's something about a story like that that's rare in our world today. That kind of commitment and dedication, it requires something. It requires attending unto. You don't just say some vows and then 72 years later, there's still something to it. But oh, how often today that covenant is disregarded. That flame is allowed to go out. And you know, there's more too than just years later still having a form. Years later, still just cohabitating in the same house. That's not what this true love is. But there is to be a love and a flame that is kindled and rekindled. That's strong and that's burning brightly between us. It's not just automatic, but it requires work. You know, you would think, surely, after 10 years of marriage, 20 years of marriage, you would think that surely they've got it figured out now. Surely they figured out a way to be able to work together. But I see more and more. I hear of those 29 years, 35 years. Can't do it anymore. I can't let this go on anymore. You know, it started breaking down before that day. It started breaking down before then. There was a love that began to grow cold. There was something that wasn't tended to. There was some affection and some devotion that began to go by the wayside. You know, it's the same way with us and the Lord. People don't just walk away from the Lord that love Him, that love Him with a vehement love and desire. But the Scripture says, speaking of the last days, it'll be perilous times because iniquity shall abound. The love of many will wax cold. That is a caution and a warning to every one of us. The environment that we live in, the world that we live in, it is so easy for our love to begin to grow cold. So easy for that flame to begin to diminish and flicker. Think of the Scripture in Revelation. It says, strengthen those things which remain that are ready to die. Didn't say it's almost ready to die. I'm so frustrated with it, I'm going to go ahead and cut it off. But you can read throughout Revelation, the letters unto the churches. That wasn't, I believe, just letters unto the churches back then. But I believe it is a message that is to all of us. That is to the church today. Of the counsel, of the exhortations, of the warnings. There were those that the angel that Jesus would speak to and said, there's something wrong here. You've left your first love. You've forsaken it. You've left it beside. You've allowed things to creep into your life. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. You're lukewarm. The heat is gone from it. But yet, in every instance, He gave hope. He said, strengthen those things that remain. Repent, therefore. I'm giving you another opportunity. I want to give you another chance. If your flame is smoldering, I want to blow on it. I want to try to revive it. I'm giving you this to try to bring forth judgment unto truth or unto life, unto victory, as it says it in Matthew. That is the purpose of our working, the Lord working with us. You know, the enemy tries to create a false image in our mind of who God is. The enemy loves to pounce on failure, loves to pounce on disappointment. Whenever I get into a place, maybe I say, I don't know how I got here. I realize I'm in a place the enemy has done this. The enemy has taken advantage. I'm not where I used to be. I don't have the victory that I used to have. I don't have the love that I used to have. The enemy has taken advantage of my life. The Lord has a place to revive that and to strengthen it, to blow on it, to try to bring back from what was just a spark, a flaming fire once again in our hearts and in our lives. The enemy, though, wants to paint a picture of discouragement, of despair. Whenever I've tried it, Lord, I've been here before. Lord, I've been on my knees before. Folks, I'll tell you, I've been here. Lord, I've been here again. I've been here before. Here I am again. Lord, I should have known better. I should have known not to go there. Lord, here I am again. You know, the enemy's right there to pounce. The enemy's right there to create an idea in my mind. There's no way you can live it. You've tried it before. You've tried doing it. You can't do it. You can't, and try to diminish hope from out of our minds. Try to discourage us. Try to cast us aside. The enemy, as we said this morning, his stated purpose, the purpose of the Lord stated of him, is that he's here to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Whenever he's able to get the flame down to a spark, he wants to put it out altogether. He wants to discourage us. But you know, I am encouraged by the story of Peter. By one who said, Lord, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never turn my back on you. But yet in his moment of weakness, wasn't as strong as he thought. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he found himself in a place that he began following Jesus afar off. And he began standing at a distance and observing him, and he denied him. And he denied him not just the first time, but three times. And then he heard the cock crow. And then he saw to me what would have melted my heart more than anything else. He saw Jesus turn and look at him. And then all of a sudden, I can just imagine the wave that would sweep over me. I look at that. Lord, I did mean to. Lord, I did mean well. I didn't want to do that. Lord, I don't know what I was thinking. If only I had it to do over again. You ever been in that kind of place? If only I had it to do over again. The enemy, I'm sure, was right there. He was with Judas, wasn't he? Judas, in like situation, he went out and he was in such anguish that he took his own life. But it said that Peter went out and wept bitterly. You know, he had some time to weep and to think about it too. No doubt this was running through his mind over and over. If only, Lord, where did I fail? Lord, where did I go wrong? How did I get myself into this place? But I did. Lord, if only I had one more chance to tell you I love you. One more chance to give my life for you. I'd do it. And that morning when Jesus arose again, he said, go and tell my disciples and Peter. You go back and tell the one that intended but didn't make it. The one whose flame began to flicker. The one who had every intention but yet found himself in a place that he was overcome. You go tell him, I am the one that takes and revives the smoking flax. I am the one that gives a second chance. Peter, the story isn't ended here. It doesn't end with no hope. I'm here to revive hope. I'm here to give you another chance. I am so glad. I am so thankful. That's the God that offers us hope. The God that offers to come along. Not there to just chastise and cut us off and say, you should have known better. You should have known not to go there. But yet in love and in mercy and in pity to reach down and to lift us up. To give us hope again. One place says that for this cause, the Son of Man manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Whenever the enemy has come along and he's worked in our lives, whenever he's sown things in our lives, if we're in a place of discouragement, I can tell you it's not of the Lord. If you're in a place of confusion in your mind, you know that's where lukewarmness will take you. Whenever I'm in a place that the flame is just smoldering, that I'm just barely holding on, I'm in a lukewarm state, you know that'll breed confusion. And I can get to the place that I think, Lord, how did I get here? What did I do? You know another place I believe the enemy likes to take advantage to? Well, I just don't understand where I'm at. Lord, have I sinned? Have I not sinned? Lord, I don't know. And I despair of hope. Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to... You know what the Lord wants us to do? To cast ourselves at His feet. Lord, I don't know how I got here. Lord, all I know is that I have a need. Lord, all I know is that the flame is just barely there. Lord, I want more. I know You have more. I want my flame of my heart and life to be more than that. Lord, would You have mercy on me? Psalms, I believe, 86 says, Thou, Lord, art good and plenteous in mercy and ready to forgive. You know, that's not what the enemy tries to tell you. The enemy wants to try to take all hope away. Try to create an idea in my mind that there's no way. I've tried it before. I know other people talk about it. And you know, this is a highway. The message that's preached to the gospel is a highway. It's a high road, but what if I'm not careful? If I'm not in a place of victory? If I'm not on top of the mountain, so to speak? I'm struggling in my life. Maybe I've allowed some things. I'm bogged down. I'm weighed down. I can get discouraged hearing that message. Oh, it sounds good, but I can't ever get there. I can't ever reach that. I've never seemed to be able to have the level of victory. Maybe it works for them, but it won't work for me. But I want to tell you, it can work for every one of us. The Lord can take no matter how weak the flame, no matter how much it's sputtering, the Lord can take and blow on it. The Lord can take and rekindle and revive those things that the enemy has tried to destroy in our lives. And if we'll come to Him, if we'll plead His mercy, if we'll say, Lord, I come and just throw myself at Your feet. Seek me, He said, and I'll be found of you. The Lord will be faithful to rekindle that and to be unto us a God that revives the smoking flax. You pray for me. Amen.